The opinions expressed on this program do not reflect the views and opinions of Audio Journal, its board of directors, staff, or volunteer readers. Thank you for listening to Audio Journal.
Welcome in. Take my hand. Say hello to who you know and who you don't and who you can. We'll give promise to your springtime and beginnings to your ends. We'll try not to be cautious, we'll be friends.
Welcome in, everyone, to Visibilities on Friday evening, whatever the date is, June 26th. I had to stop and think. June 26th, and we have two topics tonight. I don't see everyone here yet for the what was going to be our first one. So, Amanda, if you can just let me know when the scholarship winners come in, we can switch over to that for a few minutes.
We have Sean, Terry.
I'm sorry?
We have John.
We do have John. All right, let's start with John.
All right, yeah, and then I'll let you know when Olivia comes in.
Okay.
She's having she just texted, so she's having connection issues, but she is outside of the continental U.S. currently. All right.
Ah.
All right. We have John Mobley, the fourth, who just returned from Japan. He is an engineering student, graduate student, returning from Japan, as I said. I'm sure he'll share more about that with you. From Ann Arbor, Michigan. And John is the recipient of one of our Pangaea scholarships. So, John, if you could unmute, and if you have video on, if possible, that'd be great. Unmute, introduce yourself, tell us where you're from, where you're going to school, what you're studying, and what you are most excited about with the upcoming ACB conference and convention, because you're a second-time scholarship winner.
Yeah, yeah. And I was going to say, it's nice seeing a whole bunch of familiar names on the call tonight. So, yeah, here, let me turn my video. All right, there we go. Hi, everyone. John Mobley the IV. I'm originally from Jefferson, Iowa, so just a little bit west of Ames in Des Moines. But I'm currently going to the University of Michigan for my PhD in engineering education research, nuclear. And I'm also getting a graduate certificate in science, technology, and public policy, also nuclear, looking at policy implications for different things, specifically around like workforce development, education, and training. And as Amanda mentioned, I was in Japan for most of the month doing first a delegation with the nuclear department at the University of Michigan. We were visiting with a whole bunch of our counterparts in Japan, so at the University of Tokyo and at Tohoku University up in Sendai, and also visiting the Fukushima Daiichi nuclear site. Where they're doing a lot of decommissioning work after, you know, the accident. But did a whole bunch of travel, and then I went by myself to do follow-up research on public communications work down in Nagasaki and then Hiroshima. And then I finally came back. So it's been a quick but long month.
It sounds absolutely incredible.
Oh, it was so nice. The last time we were in Japan was 2023, but that was in August. And if anyone plans to go to Japan, go before July, because the weather gets really hot. But no, it was so nice. Nothing but sun for all three of those weeks. So really, really good time. Yeah.
Well, that's great.
I was going to say.
Okay, go right ahead.
The one thing I am looking forward to, Amanda asked that question last, is again, seeing familiar faces, reconnecting with everyone. I think that's the main thing that stood out for me, especially ACB is such a tight-knit community. So seeing the same people on the same calls and meeting everyone in person, having some good food, hopefully good barbecue in St. Louis, I think that's the main thing.
I think that's, yeah, that's one thing. You can't beat St. Louis for ribs and meat in general. But that's great. And you've been before. And, yeah, we are a tight-knit group in a lot of ways, but we're always very welcoming of everyone. And I think that's something that and welcoming of people's various and sundry skills. And hopefully we'll never need to have nuclear cleanup in an ACB situation. But I think you, I'm very interested. Now, you have done a career change, I believe, with this. Are you, you're a non-traditional student, I believe. Or am I mixing things, mixing people up?
Not exactly. I did my undergraduate at Iowa State University. So I did physics, applied math, and nuclear. And I initially went off for my first PhD at MIT, where I was starting nuclear science and engineering. But that's when I went legally blind. So I had to make a transition back to Iowa State, work with the Iowa Department for the Blind, and then go through their VRT while I did two masters, and then came to the University of Michigan to start my PhD 2 years ago.
And so what do you hope to do once you finish all of these?
all of the degrees?
once you run out of possibilities, academic possibilities.
Yeah, once my walls covered in degrees, I think, and this has to do with last summer working for the Nuclear Energy Institute, which is like a trade association, but I was doing more policy work. I really want to do something in the policy workforce development space, since that's where the most change can happen right now. So we need a lot of people that aren't just specifically nuclear engineers, but our electricians, our the trades, our also administration, stuff like that, to come into the field and help, you know, develop those skills as we build more reactors. So that's kind of where I'm heading. And I think it's been fun to see, to work in academia and to go to a national lab and to do all these different opportunities, just because you can kind of figure out what works best and what you really have a passion for. So.
Well, I want to wish you well, as we all do, and hopefully everybody will get to know you even a little better in St. Louis.
Yeah, and I'll be there 24th through the 28th, so hoping to meet a lot of people during that time.
I'm sure you will. It's always a great opportunity for meeting people and products and such. And just, there's just so much you can do during convention. All right. I thank you very much for being with us tonight.
Yeah. Thanks for having us.
I'm going to hold off on questions just for a minute and see. Amanda.
Yeah.
Do we have Olivia?
We do not, but what I'll do, Terry, is I'll go ahead and give you all a little background information about her. She's in San Juan, Puerto Rico right now for a program with the school. But I'll just go ahead and give you an overview, because I know everybody here is anxious to talk about voting. I mean, I should have just had voting be the topic from the get-go, because this is probably the largest crowd I've had show up for scholarship people. So thank you all so much.
Well, you know, a lot of the scholarship winners are members, and so they need to understand our voting situation as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So Olivia Collazo is going to be a freshman. She is from RT, New York. Never heard of it. But she will be coming straight from San Juan to the convention. Olivia is the recipient of the Cesar Estes scholarship, which is a scholarship that's designated to someone that's studying in the areas of STEM, which is science, technology, math, engineering, and math. And her primary focuses are on environmental sciences and art. And if she comes in, I will flag you down.
All right. Sounds great.
Thank you so much, Terry.
I do. You're more than welcome. Thank you for coming up with the idea of doing this year. We've been doing, for anybody that's missed it, I've been doing a couple of the scholarship winners each week, and Paul has been doing a couple on Tuesday topics each week. And it's really been, hopefully it's been as positive an experience for the winners as it has been for all of us in getting to know a little bit more about some of the people that we will hopefully learn much more about in the next, over the next several years, really. Now, moving on for just a minute, I do have one thing I want to say first, and that is that I do want to thank Tricia, who is hosting for us tonight. I want to thank Larry, who decided to come back from Alaska and stream for us. And I also want to thank Marcy and Monica and everyone who's filled in with streaming and hosting over the last few weeks. They've really done a great job for us, and I really wanted to extend an appreciation to them. Now, going on to our next piece of the rest of the show, and that is voting. You know, every member of ACB, whether you're a member of an affiliate, be it a special interest or a state or a, those are the two, special interests, or a member at large. There we go. You have a vote in this organization. You may or may not have an affiliate vote, but that's another whole little piece of kettle of fish. But you do have your own vote. And originally because of COVID and then other reasons after that, we have developed an ongoing process for voting for positions and for items at the ACB convention. And we have a few people with us tonight. Patrick Sheehan is with us, who is the co-chair of the Voting Task Force. Connie Sims is with us as the Outreach Subcommittee of the Voting Task Force. We have more committees in this organization. Pat told me that she's the Voting Task Force Subcommittee Outreach Program and leader. But most of all, and I want to introduce first, is we've had the Queen of Convention on, we've had the Earl of Exhibits, we've had Janet Dickelman on, and Michael Smitherman, and a number of other people about what's going on with the tours and everything at convention. But there's one person who overrides or oversees, let's say, all of that. And that is the president of the American Council of the Blind. And that's Deb Cook Lewis. And she's with us tonight. So I want to give Deb an opportunity to kind of get us started on where we should head with talking to Patrick and Connie and anything else that she wants to start off with.
Okay. Well, thank you for that rousing encouragement about voting, because I can't say enough about the opportunity. This organization voted over 90% It's the biggest sort of record vote thing that we've ever done. We voted to change our constitution so that every member of the organization could vote regardless of whether or not they are able to attend the national convention. And for so many years, you could only vote if you could attend the national convention in person. And many other organizations still expect that. So we actually, you know, this is a membership perk, and it is a membership right, and I think it's a membership responsibility. And our voting takes two parts. It's, you know, most of you know this, but just as a refresher, that the voting is both the individual vote where you get a whole vote and your own vote, and it is a secret vote. And then basically your affiliate vote, which some affiliates have been able to make the ballots more secret than others, but you get 1/25th of a vote, basically, because your vote, your affiliate vote count is based on 25 member increments. So there's a lot of voting power, and I just want to encourage you to cast your individual vote for every election you can, and also cast your affiliate vote. Make sure you know how to vote in the affiliates to which you belong, and do that. Now, having said that, this year we have five board positions and three board of publication positions up for election. I am not real good at math, but I was able to do this on both hands without taking off my shoes, and it's eight. So there are eight positions. We are only able to have five contested elections during the in-person convention week. So if we have a lot of activity with eight positions to fill, we could run out of slots very quickly. And members have told me adamantly that they do not want to have the voting run after the convention, if at all possible. So this year we are doing something new in view of the fact that with eight positions, we could have more than five. So it doesn't mean we will have to, but we sure could easily. So we are doing something new this year. Janet has in the past couple weeks sent out to the convention list a description of this. And you'll find a description of this on the website under the convention program in pretty good detail. I'm going to walk through it really, really quickly and then kind of turn it over to Pat and Connie to talk about any more things and kind of answer your questions. So things, you know, really start rolling off with the candidates forum, which will be July 8th. And on July 8th, we'll have that. And if your excuse for not voting is that you don't know who the candidates are, the candidates do have web pages up there now that they have created. And you can come to the candidates forum and learn at least about all the candidates who have declared themselves. And I really thank all of those candidates who have done that, because that really makes things much better for our members. So that happens on the 8th. The Constitution and bylaw amendments, of which there are eight bylaw amendments, have been sent out to all members. And I don't think Rick has put them up on the podcast yet, but he is going to. They're ready.
He did today.
And so he did today. Okay, yeah. I didn't see that he did, so that's okay. So they are up there in English. And is the Spanish up there as well, Larry?
I am not sure.
Okay. They are up there in English on that, and then they are going to be on the website. They have been emailed out. We will be having a session in the community on July 2nd to go over them. And, of course, we will have debate during the convention, but we want to give you an extra opportunity to come and learn about those.
Excuse me, Deb.
Yes.
Excuse me. Did you say July 7 or 2nd?
July 2nd.
So it's
July 2.
Okay.
July 2, Thursday.
Okay. Thank you.
In the evening, there will be a session, not part of the convention, but just a session in the community on the, and of course, there will be announcements. But I'm just telling you, giving you a little heads up. So this will happen on July 2, and that'll give you an opportunity to learn about that. And then if you went to all those resolution discussions, you know that we also have three resolutions that we're going to be considering. And that information, the final versions of those, will be sent out a little bit closer to the convention. So there is no excuse not to know about the issues and to know about the candidates. Now, having said that, so we have the convention opening on July 13th, and this is the virtual week. And I'm only going to talk about the evening activities. I'm not going to talk about any of the daytime things. The first thing that will happen is, so July 13th, we will be doing what we've always done on Monday night of the virtual convention. So that means we will be adopting the standing rules. We will be hearing the opening credentials report. We will be adopting the convention program, and we will have the constitutionally required affiliate roll call. We will do this all as quickly as we can so that we can adjourn for the nominating committee to begin meeting. So the nominating committee, as it has lately, will be meeting Monday night and carrying on with that. Then on Tuesday, we'll have the final credentials report and we'll have the nominating report. And we will also on Tuesday at the end of the evening, we will have the first reading of the bylaw amendments, which we're also required constitutionally to do. Tuesday evening, we will begin our resolutions, and I think we might complete them because we only have three.
To be a record low for us.
Well, you know what, Terry? I'm not worried about that because we actually act on things that could be resolutions.
No, that's true. I didn't mean it critically.
And, I'm just saying it's been raised. And someone just came to me with a motion, not just today, but a few days ago, came to me with a motion they'd like to make during the convention. It'd be a great motion, but we will have already done this because this was important and we needed to do it before the convention. So it's already done. And so that's the way I want us to be, is to be able to be proactive. But these resolutions are things that we have taken action on and can. So we will do that. And there were others that were submitted, but there are three that are coming to the floor. So anyway, we're going to do those on Tuesday night. We're going to get as far as we can. They are offered to you in the order that when you go to the podcast for them, they are in the order we will be doing them. So they are not in numerical order. And no, I haven't lost my nut. I have a reason for this. And so they are really about getting the most complicated one done first so that we can make sure we complete it without stopping in the middle. So that's how we're doing it. And so then that wraps up Tuesday, and that's pretty much like it was last year. Okay, so now it gets different. So we have had the nominating committee report, and on Wednesday, the opening item will be elections. So we are going to start our election process. And as is required, we are going to have candidates until we come to a contested election. We will be taking the candidates in the order that they come from the nominating committee. So I know that's going to be quite fun in the nominating committee because everybody's going to be scrambling to try to be nominated early because, you know, early might be better. So anyway, we will take our first elections and we will go until we have a contested candidate. So we may have some winners that evening and we may not, you know. So after we get through the candidate speeches for the contested election, then we will begin on the bylaw amendments. And we are going to do as many as we can. I would like to do four of them. There are eight. They are pretty small and they are all independent of each other. So in other words, if you only like one of them, and you vote yes for only one of them, it's okay. I mean, we wish you'd vote for all eight. But, you know, if you don't, you know, we can take any number that pass. So they are absolutely independent of each other. And they are all based on bylaw 6, which is our committee's bylaw. Now, so on Wednesday, we will hear these. We debate them, but we do not vote because these must be voted as a record vote. So on Thursday, we will have our first record vote, and you will do your individual vote in the afternoon from 2 to 6 p.m. Central Time, and then you will come together, and we will have the roll call first, like we would, and hear the affiliate roll call for the affiliate vote for that. And then, and so we will have a candidate, and we will have some, hopefully have some bylaw amendments to vote as well that we have completed debate on. And if we have a candidate and four bylaw amendments, you know, that would be half. That'd be work. That'd be good. So then after we finish the roll call and that's determined, we will have more candidates till we get to a contested election. And then we will go back and try to do the other amendments to the bylaws. And then on Friday, we'll repeat the process. So on Friday, we will have the individual vote from 2 to 6. We will have the affiliate vote at 7. And we will actually hopefully be done with all the bylaws and then come back and finish any resolutions. We will not be taking any candidates because we do not want to carry any election across to the in-person time. So we will be completing all of that on Friday. In the past, there has been a vote in the following week on like Monday or Tuesday night to take care of the end of the week roll call vote, and we will not be doing that. So once we are done on the 17th, we are completely done until we get to St. Louis and we have our opening session on the 25th. And again, then on the 25th, we will we should be done with all of the business part, and then we will be finishing elections. And so we will continue with our candidates on Saturday night, the 25th. So that is really, in a nutshell, what we are doing differently. And to sum it up, we will be starting our elections on Wednesday. We will be having a vote on Thursday for bylaw amendments and candidate or candidates, a competition of candidates. And then on Friday, again, we will have a vote that is for bylaw amendments and then for a competition of candidates. And so that is different. That moves two of the candidate elections out, giving us still the possibility of five inside the convention. And this then gives us the possibility of making it because we're hoping we can get eight people elected out of seven elections at least. So that's it.
Uh-huh. Now, maybe I missed it along here someplace.
Okay. Yeah, there's a lot.
The two readings.
Yeah. Oh, well, so there's one full reading. That is Tuesday night. And then the reading, the second reading is they are read individually before they're debated. So
okay.
Some will be read on Wednesday and some will be read on Thursday.
Okay. That makes sense.
Sure.
That makes sense. And now with the nominating committee, if we went, let's just say hypothetically that just the people who have declared already.
Yes.
Who are going to be on the who are going to be on the the 8th. When the nominating committee, will they, I don't know if there is a procedure for this, and that's what I'm asking.
Sure.
Well, we have one position, for instance, on the board of directors where the person is timing out as opposed to the other four.
Right.
So would that position be filled, presented by the nominating committee first?
No, they will just open for a position. They don't, the people who are incumbents don't have any standing in the nominating committee. So basically you open for position one and people run for it. And then, so you're not running for Terry's position or Patrick's position or Connie's position or what have you. You're running for a position. So it'll be the first position we're nominating. And so it won't have to do with who the incumbent is or anything. So we're going to do
that. That's wonderful. This is something that I have been in favor of for decades.
Because
it was so much of the, well, I'll run against him, but I won't run against him kind of thing.
My recommendation to candidates is that they need to run. Now, you know, the other thing I will point out is that ultimately we can, because we did not get this changed a few years ago, when some of us tried. We have a rate of not getting everything we want, right? So we did not get, we wanted, because there were some very real examples of why to want it. We wanted to be able to change the distribution of how states would be represented. And currently, states can be represented with up to two people in the, officer positions and only one person in the board positions. And what we wanted to do was to change that so that it would be three people from a state in any combination. So if you had two officers, you could only have one board member. And if you had, and the reason why they didn't want this and may still not is because they wanted the board to have broad representation. But the way our board works is that there's really no separation in the work of the board and the officers other than the secretary does secretary and I do president and that sort of thing. But I mean, it's not, there's no difference in capacity. So a vote is a vote. And so we were hoping that would be changed. It was not changed. So that means that on the board, we can only have one person from any state, and there are two candidates from one state. So the way that will work is that when those candidates are up, if one of them has not been elected yet, they can both be up. In other words, they can run against each other and they can run anywhere they want until one of them is elected. And then if one of them is actually elected, the other one cannot run. So that is how that works. And that's not something we've seen a lot lately. So that's why I wanted to bring it up.
Yeah, that's kind of what I wanted to as well.
Yeah. Yeah. So they can't. Yeah. So we're going to have that first election or that first run in the nominating committee will be quite wild. And I actually expect that first run on the floor might also be quite wild. So we may have some runoff elections, contested elections, even without a larger number of candidates, if you see what I mean.
Yeah, I do. And we may well have candidates who will, which is basically what you're saying, who will decide to run.
No, I'm saying even if we only had the six, we're going to have
more than one
contested election. Yes.
Yeah, and we could definitely have more than one contested election if we have more people who run from the floor.
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely. So we still, because someone said after we had a fairly small turnout of candidates, someone asked me, well, are you going to change back to the old way? Because you don't have that many people. You won't have that many elections. And I said, nope. We're doing this partly as an experiment to see whether we like it. It may not be as necessary in an officer's year. You know, I think we could think about that. But I think in the year that we have the five board and three BOP people, I think that this, if it works for us, and there's a lot of variance, if you had a lot more resolutions, but then we could have had fewer bylaw amendments. So, you know, it's all six of one, half dozen of the other.
And, it is. It really is.
So it's a crapshoot and we're going to try it. And for the most part, people have been really very receptive to it. They have pretty much understood, at least in talking, why we would try this.
Yeah, I think so as well. All right. Well, very good. Shall we hear from Patrick?
Hey there, Terry.
There you are, Mr. Sheehan.
Yes. So we have quite a busy week coming up, the virtual week with voting. And so if people feel a little bit overwhelmed with the schedule and everything we just heard, it's going to take a little bit of time for that to sink in, I think. And we do have Connie's favorite cheat sheet that she's going to be able to send out to people so that you'll get that in writing. Connie, I have a question for you, a quiz question.
I don't know about that.
I think you might know the answer. So when will we get our ballot codes? Do we have a date for that?
We do July 13th, and you're only getting one.
It's the 14th, Connie.
We were told.
They told me today 13th. It was the 14th. Yeah, they told me it was the 14th.
That's interesting. Okay. Well, since we will be getting those codes, and were you told the 14th at 6?
I was told the 14th by the end of the day.
14th, the end of the day. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, Connie, I guess we stand corrected. I was told the 13th, the end of the day.
You were told it, yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
And now will that be them being mailed out at that point too?
They will be, yeah, the mailed ones will be out in enough time. They'll be sent out a little bit earlier, but the emailed ones will be on the 14th. And really,
I was thinking about the Braille ones.
Well, you know what? We only have about 5 people who actually get alternative format codes. We get very few. It's very small. It's very small. We send out quite a few. We send out a lot more announcements of that, but they have to call back, or they can call back right back anything back and tell us that they want it. And that mailing has already gone out to them, and we have to hear back from them, and then we notify them in whatever the best way will be. We don't send the codes out too early by email, but we have to send those. The Vote Now will send the other codes, but we send these by hand. So we'll be doing that probably a few days before. But it's a small number of people. I think it's less than a dozen.
Oh, which has really gone down over the last few years.
Yes, it has.
No, actually, the number of those people hasn't really gone down too much. There's never been a high number of people who requested the alternative ballot.
So I think, and the reason I asked about the date that we can expect the codes is because Minneapolis would say by the end of the day on the 14th, we'll get those.
Right.
Because they tend to get questions at 9 a.m. or 10 a.m. saying, where's my code? So making sure that we give them a whole day to send it out.
The end of the day, the 14th.
Which will be good. Mm-hmm. And then,
and if you get it the 13th, that's okay. So if that turns out to be right, no problem. I'm happy to be wrong. But don't call them till after the end of the day on the 14th.
Right, exactly. And those will be ready to go for our mock election.
Yes.
On Wednesday, where we will be testing out the system and making sure that we don't run into any issues with Vote Now. We've had very good luck with Vote Now over the last, what's it been, Deb, 6 years that we've had this?
Yeah, we voted this in 21. Mm-hmm. So we started using and we used Vote Now for that. So so it's been since 21.
Yeah. And what we found is that the mock election is a real good way to test the system, make sure that we don't have any glitches. Gives us time to work out those glitches, answer questions from individuals about, you know, their codes and how to utilize them and all that sort of thing. And this year we're only doing one mail out. And so, as I was told, Patrick, don't lose your ballot code this year, you know, put it in a safe place. So yes. So they'll charge me a surcharge to replace it, I guess, just for me.
Ooh, a big surcharge. Ooh, we won't have to have the auction anymore.
Won't need the auction. That's it.
Let Leslie know we got it covered. Yeah.
So, Connie, should we stress regarding the?
Can I ask Devil's check on something here? The mock election will take place when?
Wednesday, 2 to 6.
Wednesday.
I think it's 2 to 4, Pat.
Yeah, the thing's at 2 to 6.
And that's Wednesday.
We need to check on that. It's definitely at 2. But I didn't think it ran the full 4 hours on Wednesday. But I could be wrong about that.
We'll double check on those, but it will be Wednesday, 2 o'clock. Usually, yes. I think we've had it for 2 hours, but if it goes longer than that, we'll be on.
Well, we'll only have the Zoom part 2 hours. We can have the election, and they may, because they're doing all the rest of the days that week. So that's probably true. So I'm probably corrected on that. We'll report out on the results of the mock election Wednesday evening before we start our candidates. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that was going to be my next question. Yeah. Was what date? Are we talking Wednesday?
Wednesday, the week before.
That's
the 15th.
Of the virtual week, Wednesday, because we're going to vote on Thursday.
Right.
So we're voting on Thursday, so we will have the practice on Wednesday.
On Wednesday, and that should give us enough time. And generally, the vote now, people have been just terrific. I mean, they've been able
to. Oh, they do this all the time. So this is really for our practice, not their practice so much. So, yeah.
And it's nice that they come on, just to visit and if there's questions or anything. But it's always nice that they participate.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What else, Connie? Patrick?
So we're taking requests to work with individuals, affiliates that have questions regarding the voting system. You know, one of the things, Terry, we've been doing this now at Vote Now for 5 years, whatever it's been. Mm-hmm. So for some of us, this whole process is pretty easy because we've done it. There's a lot of people out there, especially new presidents, and new people in the affiliates that have never done this before. So we need to be, aware of our audience, make sure that everybody understands all of this stuff going forward, explaining the schedule that we just went through that was the lightning speed round. And, that lots of questions can come up, about different parts of it. So we want to be able to walk people through what it is and how we're working and a little bit more about, why we're doing things the way we want to do them. One of the things that I think everybody agrees on, and I was told that it's going to be my fault, if we go to 3 weeks of voting that third week, it's going to be my fault and people will be there to tell me. Of course it is.
But, yeah, I think Deb, didn't we threaten him or something?
So we definitely don't want to do that because I was thinking of vacating just right about now. But I think that this is a good workable schedule and it's a lot of work and the mission, of all of it's pretty tight. But I think, it can work and we'll do the best we can with it. But lots of questions, I think, from individuals about, what we're doing, how we're doing it, and the voting. But I think the voting system itself is very reliable, and we've had good luck with it.
And remember that each and every day throughout all of convention, whether it's the virtual part or the hybrid part, Hannah will be sending out in the morning every day a sort of show description for what is that day. And so you will know what is happening. You will know what candidate we're voting for in the afternoon or what bylaw amendments or resolutions or whatever we might have to vote for in the afternoon and what we will be discussing in the evening. And then when we get to, St. Louis, then, of course, the general agenda for the general session will be put out each day along with all of the meetings, affiliate and committee meetings and fun things that happen too. So every day you're going to be told exactly and every day during the general session, whether it's the virtual time or in person, I'm going to go over this till it drives you nuts. So, this is the overview of the whole thing, but really it doesn't matter. You just need to be there every evening, Wednesday and Thursday to do any in-person voting or any things that way and to hear issues and candidates and what all. And then Thursday and Friday
to do your individual vote and your affiliate vote. And really, if you can just keep track of that, I think it will go pretty smoothly.
One of the things you emphasized, I think, at one point, Deb, was making sure that delegates and alternates
Right. We've met with the presidents about that. So I think that's
going to be very important.
So,
and even an alternate to the alternate isn't a bad idea sometimes.
In case
things happen with people. And, but that week of the virtual week, they're going to have to be hopping and ready to go. But I think they're up to the task.
Yeah, and it's always at the front end of the session. So except for Monday night where we do that funny roll call, and that's near the end. But really, most of the time, what they're doing is up near the front. So that also makes it easy for us. They can just start in there. It's not really going to be any different than what we've done. It's just going to be a slightly different arrangement of the days.
All right. Well, let me jump in here and thank you all so much thus far. What I do notice is that Amanda has her hand up, and so I have a feeling that she's going to tell us about Ollie getting here. But if anybody else has any questions for Connie or Patrick or Deb, please consider raising your hand now. And in the meanwhile, Amanda, what's going on with you?
Thank you. Thank you, Terry. I really appreciate it. So Ole Collazo is here, and I just spotted her. And so, Ole, if you could go ahead and just unmute and let us meet you, just introduce yourself, tell us where you're from and where you're going to school and what you are most excited about with the upcoming ACB convention.
Hello. Sorry I was late. We had a storm where I live, so power was a difficult. I was trying to get onto the Wi-Fi and it wasn't working. So I apologize. My name is Ole Collazo. I am from New York, right outside of the city. I'm going to be a first-year student at Oberlin College this fall in Ohio. And I am super excited to I really start like building a community of like people who are also blind like me, and really getting to hear from you all. I know you're all very experienced in life, so I'm excited to hear about like your struggles and hear what you've done to help with that, as well as I'm excited to learn a little bit about technologies and stuff that I could be using to better my life and stuff like that as I transition into an adult.
Well, I think that's wonderful. And, I think that's one of the greatest purposes of ACB and especially of the convention, and that is to listen, to learn, and to respect one another. And you've got 2 out of 3 right there, and I think you've just won and you think you've just touched us with the third one. And that's exactly why I think it's a great reason for you to be going to convention, and I want to wish you well with your future endeavors. And I would love to spend a little bit more time with you, but I think we are going to be running short on time with questions because I'm opening it for questions. Well, if people have questions of John or Olivia or Deb or Patrick or Connie, please raise your hands now and we will go ahead and get that started. And we're going to start first with Nora. Hi, Nora. Good evening.
Hi, good evening. First of all, I registered for the virtual convention.
Very good.
Thank you. For those who are not going to be registering for convention, can they still vote like they did last year?
Yes, they can, Nora. And you do not have to be coming to convention virtually or hybrid or in person. All members are able to vote.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Now, in order to Well, in order to register, I know that. But in order to vote, they don't have to go into their membership.
They don't have to do anything.
Okay. Okay. I didn't think so. I just wanted to be sure.
So all members who have email, who we have email for, will automatically receive the voter code. And any member who we do not have email for, because they either don't have email or we don't have it, any member who we do not have email for received a letter inviting them to contact the office if they wish to have a code, and then that code will be provided to them in whatever way is most appropriate. But all you have to do is be a member.
All right. Chuck Jones. Good evening.
Oh, good evening. Okay. Question I have, and I get kind of confused, but is it the constitutional amendment or the bylaw amendment that gets two-thirds majority?
Constitutional amendments, but we don't have any constitutional amendments this year.
Okay. Okay.
So bylaw amendments are a simple majority.
Oh, okay. And constitutional are two-thirds. Okay. Mm-hmm.
And yes, but we don't have a constitutional amendment. We only have bylaw amendments.
Okay, so that's a simple majority. Okay, I just wanted to make sure I had that right. Thank y'all.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks.
Mm-hmm. Good question. Right. Yeah.
Thank you.
Why don't we throw in one more at this point? And that is, can one of you tell people what a record vote is?
Yeah.
Who wants that good job?
Yeah, so a record vote occurs when the election of the raised hand vote, or what we call the rising vote constitutionally, is too close to really determine the winner. And we have a formula that is based on the number of votes that are being cast to determine that. And I have a little spreadsheet that does it for me. And so I always forget exactly how the formula works. But when we take a hand raised vote for candidates, well, we don't take them for candidates. When we take a hand raised vote for resolutions, that's the only thing we can take a hand raised vote for. So when we take a resolution hand raised vote, when we get the number of that vote in favor and opposed, Nancy will tell us what the number required for a record vote would be. And then if a record vote is in order, then it goes to the ballot and is voted on the next ballot. So resolutions would be heard on Tuesday, and the first ballot is Thursday, so they would be voted then. But bylaw amendments must be voted by the ballot, and contested candidates must be voted by the ballot.
Okay, but resolutions do.
Resolutions are first voted by the raise of hands, and if that vote is clear and below the amount required for the record based on the number voting, then it passes or fails based on that.
Right. So that one's almost the, no, not, I was going to say the least likely, but it's not knowing the history of ACB.
We have many years had at least one resolution go to the record.
Yes, and we have.
And we have one this year that could. I think two of them will not. But, you know, like you say, you can't be sure of anything.
You never know until the hour strikes.
Say based on sort of the reception during the resolutions meetings, you know, that's a good predictor of because we get a good public turnout for those meetings.
Yes. Yeah, it did indeed. Agnes. Is that Agnes who I think it is?
Yes.
How are you, Agnes?
Oh,
it's so
feeling
good to
a
hear.
Little better. Thank you. I have a question.
Sure.
I joined this year as an at-large member instead of going through. So do I only have to be concerned about the individual vote?
Yes. Yes, that's all you can be concerned about.
Okay. If I were to choose to join an affiliate now, I could not
it's
be a
late.
Part. Right, correct. To be a part of their affiliate bowl.
Yes, you are past the record date. You're not past the record date for being a member because you are a member at large, like you said. But if you were to join an affiliate, you would be past the record date for being counted by that affiliate for it. And that's 30 days before the, so it was like June 12th.
Okay. And the other question I had, there was a mistake made. I had joined as an at-large member and something didn't get checked on the box, as I had found out today. So I wasn't even listed as a member, but they fixed that. So how could I get the emails you mentioned that have already been sent
you
out?
Will. You will. Well, don't you have email?
Yeah, but I mean, since because of then the mistake,
she hasn't gotten them in the past.
Yeah, I haven't gotten them.
You wouldn't get them because if you're a member at large and they have corrected it, you will go in with the members for the vote, the emails that are coming out on the 13th or 14th.
Okay, that's but I won't get the past vote. Ones that you mentioned.
You know what, Agnes?
Huh? Agnes.
Yes.
Send me an email and I'll forward.
Yeah, I never
get rid of anything. For Agnes, I would do this. Agnes has been doing visibilities with us for 6 years. And we've kind of gotten a lot of us have become friends. And she sends me an email.
She's the only email that you have missed that is significantly important. And actually, it's even on the website. So the Constitution and Bylaw Amendments are either on the website or will be on Monday. That's in the email. And then the candidates are all on the website and they weren't mailed out. So the only email you've probably missed is if you think there's an email in particular that you've missed that Terry doesn't find for you, just call the office and ask for it because they send them centrally. But I don't think you've missed a lot of important emails that went to.
No, unless, but I'm just not, I was thinking kind of more of the Janet ones.
Janet ones, she's getting those because you don't have to be a member to get those.
That's true. Okay.
I got
it. We'll take care of it, Agnes.
Okay.
Don't worry.
I think the only one that we have to Constitution and bylaws.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's the only one.
I need to come up prayer, folks. I want to thank all of you for being with us tonight. I want to especially thank President Lewis and Patrick and Connie and our host, who I'm a little confused at who
it's
ended
Belle
up hosting.
Now. It's Belle.
It's Belle now. And I was like, where did Tricia go? But Belle, thank you for jumping in. And Larry, streaming for us. And all of you, we will not be running a visibilities next week. It's the Friday night of the 4th of July weekend. And I figured it's a good time for all of us to get together with friends and family for the 4th of July 250th celebrations, whatever they may be, wherever you may be. But we will be back on the 10th of July with Kenneth Semyon Sr. and the Inspire graduating class for this year. And with that, I want to wish you all a wonderful 4th of July. And just keep remembering, you have a vote, exercise it. Thank you very much and have a great week.
You are listening to Audio Journal, a proud member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network.
This is not a public service announcement. This is a one-minute mystery.
Carrie Queen, a professional writer, was sitting in his cabin writing a letter. There was a violent electrical storm outside, and suddenly Carrie died. How did he die? ¶¶
And here's the solution to our mystery.
He died in a plane crash. Carrie Queen is a professional skywriter. While writing a letter, his plane was hit by lightning.
And now back to our regular programming.